Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon, and I can't do Al Davis's voice, so you've got John Lutz that's going to be with you for the next half hour here, and we are so thankful that you've tuned in. I hope you were able to listen to that last half hour. Thank Mr. Stover for spending some time with us and going over some things that are coming up there with Northeast Ohio Value Voters. So again, if you missed that, you can go over to neovv.com. That's neovv.com. And you can get registered there for voting if you're not a registered voter. And there's plenty of other information on that website as well that you can look at. But right now we've got another guest with us today. You know, we were listening to the convention last night, and Hillary Clinton said, we have the man from hope, who's Bill Clinton. We have the man of hope, who is Barack Obama. And we have the man with hope, Al Davis, with us today. And so we are thankful, Brother Davis, that you are with us. Hello there.
Hey, Brother John. Good to be with you. I'm on my own program.
Is it storming by you? The storm just blew here through here at the radio station. Is it raining out there?
No, it's dry. It's less muggy, warm.
Yeah.
But I'm out at the Summit County Fairgrounds in Talmadge, Ohio. And our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, has a booth out just inside the main gates, and we've had the opportunity to see a number of people call the program and listen to the program come through, and also some other people who are glad to hear about our program. And so it's been a great week out here. It's been productive. It's been warm, but it's been nice. But we haven't seen any rain out here.
Well, that's good. I hope it doesn't come your way, because it was just it was pouring pretty good here right outside the radio. So hopefully it's going away from you. So as far as the fair goes, you're getting an opportunity. Do you have your displays up this time with the three things God can't do?
Right. We have a display. We've used it. I did it with some other people in the past at some other fairs. And last year, we went with it for the Summit County Fair here, and it's three things God cannot do.
But I thought God could do everything.
That's the answer.
Isn't the answer?
Had that even today.
Yeah.
It's a good sort of broad outreach, because whether somebody's a Christian, a churchgoer, a non-churchgoer, or a non-Christian, even atheists will say, just like what you said, oh, I thought God can do anything.
Yeah.
And I even had a young girl today, a teenage girl, and she looked at it, and she was with her friends, and she said, what is it? God can do anything. And when she looked at it, the first one comes from Titus chapter 1, verse 2,
yeah.
And it's God cannot lie. And that's what it says in Titus 1, 2, God that cannot lie.
Right.
And she looked at it, she got a sour expression on her face, and she got upset.
Oh, my word.
What she wanted, but she got upset that God can't lie, and she wouldn't look at anything else, and she went off, and she was muttering something. I said, that's okay, but don't worry, this will stick with you. You will remember this from now on.
Oh, my word. Wow.
Because, you know, usually when somebody has an emotional reaction like that to something, it'll tend to stick. You know, if you think back in your life,
yeah,
the times when there was some emotional reaction to something, those are things you remember the most. So I'm praying that, you know, one day that God will get a hold of her heart and she'll remember that God cannot lie.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, she didn't want that to be true. She didn't like that.
Wow.
And
yeah.
Usually we know that. Usually we agree, well, that's right. That's good. Yeah. Okay. I know. I see now.
Yeah.
And people are glad that God can't lie, because he is the embodiment of truth and his word is truth.
Yeah.
So that, of course, leads us to the second one, which is God cannot change. And in 3:6, and the Lord, I change not. And I've had a couple of people who have changed mind candy. I said, well, that's true, but he doesn't change his nature.
Yeah.
He may change his mind. He may change some of his mode of operation, but his nature, his basic nature, his holiness, his mercy, his love, his truth. That never changes. And that's why he is Lord, changes not. He's the eternal God.
Yeah.
And so, of course, that leads us to the third one. God cannot allow sinners into heaven. And that's usually where people balk. They'll agree to the first two, but when we get to that one, they'll go, oh, I don't like that. I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
Or some people will say, well, yes, he does let sinners into heaven. And I said, no, he can't. The Bible says in Revelation that all liars have their part in the lake of fire. And you know, liars, that lies a type of sin. It's listed with murder and whoremongering and idolatry and sorcery and all that. And so as a consequence, God cannot allow sinners into heaven. He can't change that.
Right.
So he's got to change us.
Right.
And that's why Jesus came and died on the cross. God entered into the world. He became a man, dwelt among us, went to the cross where he shed his blood to pay for our sin. The Bible says that he tasted death for us. And so he died in our place, literally.
Right.
And we accept that. We believe that he died for us. And, of course, he rose again, showing the victory over sin and death. And when we believe that, we confess our sin and trust Christ as our Savior. And then he changes us. He puts his righteousness on us. And we become his children and go home with him for all eternity. So that's an exciting thing to be able to share with people. And you know, you see the light come on sometimes in people's eyes. Sometimes you just get a little bit of a seed in there and hope that later on somebody will be able to water that and God gives the increase.
Amen. You know, our job is just to be sowing the seed. That's it. And,
right.
You know, the soil of the heart is up to the individual. It's not up to us. And, you know, you mentioned something earlier. Truth is very confrontational. And, you know, some people really, they look into that truth. They know the truth in the sense of what it's saying, but they want nothing to do with it. And it's repulsive to them. And I can remember that even when we were at the RNC that week. And of course, all the years of going out on visitation, but specifically, that week down at the RNC, there were some individuals we talked to that, I mean, it was like the Bible was poison to them. They would talk to you and the thing they would say, well, I know that, but, and, it's like, well, I know the truth, but I don't want to accept it. And, you know, for the matters of eternity, that's the difference between heaven and hell, you know, and really trusting Christ in that sense.
Yeah, I had somebody say, well, if God is so powerful, then why did he let us sin then if he wants us to be with him? And I said, well, and I explained it. I said, listen, it's a choice. And in order to be a valid choice to obey, you have to have a valid choice to disobey.
Yeah,
to have a valid choice to believe, you have to have a valid choice to not believe.
Yeah,
and so in order for us to be able to willingly love God, we also have to have a valid choice to willingly not love God. And you know, people are making a choice to either love God or not love God when they're exposed to the gospel. You know, should I, you know, love God and obey God, or should I choose not to? And you know, God could have created us all as zombies, you know, programmed to do whatever he says.
Sure.
But he wants us to choose to do what he says because we love him. And it's the choice we have to make. That's why, you know, neither you or I can force people to get saved.
Right. Right. I wanted to talk with you as long as I got you on the phone here for a few moments. I assume you got to see at least a little bit. I think you mentioned a little bit of the speech last night. Maybe you saw some other parts of the convention and kind of what your thoughts were and, you know, regarding the speech, the promises, all of those things. And I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I've been out here at the, like I said, out here at the Summit County Fair all week. So I haven't really seen much of anything because I've been out here from about 11:30 in the morning until about 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, okay.
But I've caught bits and pieces on the radio on the way here and on the way home and checking online on my phone periodically through the day. Last night going home, I heard, I guess it was the tail end of her speech.
Okay.
Either that or a replay. I'm not sure what time her speech was.
Because
it was about a little after 11. I was listening to it, but it was just the you know the measured tone in which she delivered it, which to me is grating, but
yeah.
But beyond that, you know, the stylistic thing, the content, you know, the content, it's against the Word of God. It's against the idea that there's a God and that we have a sin nature. And you see that reflected in the Democrat Party platform. You know, it's so strongly weighted in favor of abomination, meaning the gay, lesbian, and transsexual, bisexual, and all of that, same-sex marriage, abortion on demand. Planned Parenthood was featured prominently in the convention, I understand.
Yeah.
And then here's the mothers of basically people who were criminals who lost their lives in criminal activity.
Yeah.
Even the Obama Department of Justice certified, you know, found and proved that, or, you know, said that they were criminals, and they're featured on there.
Yeah.
And so it's like every kind of sin imaginable, like in the days of Noah, when wickedness and all of that abounded, in the days of Lot that Jesus said it would be like when he comes back, with all kinds of sexual immorality going on rampantly in the world.
Yeah.
And we see that, and it's sad to see that a major American political party has embraced the very things, you know, that if you read Romans chapter 1, you can see the progression, like you said, about knowing God and not wanting to acknowledge him. It devolves eventually into just embracing every form of abomination and wickedness when people, a people and then a nation refuse to recognize God. So we really need to pray for our nation, you know, based on some of the things I heard in that convention.
Yeah, there were, you know, my daughter, I mentioned this in the first half hour, I started writing a list down of all the things that we were being promised. And of course, health care, which we already know about through Obamacare, and of course, Hillary care that was supposed to be during her husband's presidency but failed. So you had free health care. You had free college for all the U.S. Children, but not only just free college, but the erasure of all the current college debt, which, if I remember correctly from I heard on Fox News with Neil Cavuto, was $1.3 trillion of student debt that is out there, because he was actually talking with a girl who was advocating for free education for all and taking from the 1%. And he threw out a statistic, it was amazing. He said, if you took all of the wealth of the quote unquote 1%ers, it equals approximately $1 trillion. So you don't even have enough. If you took 100% of their money, you would not have enough to just erase all the current student loan debts, not including every other social welfare program that we currently are involved in. It was free college and education, free meals, free defense, continued defense for the nations, as Trump has pointed out that many of the nations aren't paying what they agreed to pay in the NATO contracts.
Right.
And then, of course, free citizenship, amnesty for those who are already in the nation and, you know, productive citizens, or not citizens, but productive illegals, I guess, in that sense. So, you know, you just start racking up. My daughter looks at me and goes, sounds great, Dad, but how do you pay for all that? You know, you can't.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I just said you can't pay for it all.
I was going to say that when you think about what you were talking about, she wants us to be like Europe. And there's a lot of people who think, well, yeah, Europe's not so bad. Socialism's been working great there. Look at all the benefits, the free benefits that they have. But what people don't realize, if you tie some of that together, one of the reasons that many of the European countries have been able to offer all these socialized benefits that you talk about that Hillary was outlining is precisely because during the years after World War II, during the Cold War, we not only the United States with the American taxpayers' money rebuilt much of Europe, but we also defended Europe during the Cold War. We footed the bill. And so here's the thing. If we're going to be like Europe, who's going to foot the bill for us?
Good point.
You know, just thinking about over $1 trillion, what did you say for the college debt?
It was $1.3 trillion, they said, is outstanding college debt right now.
you know, that debt is held by banks and loan companies. When I went to college, I had some college loans, and and I had to pay it back to the bank. And so there are people who have their money in banks. What happens when the banks lose $1.3 trillion?
Yeah, right.
Where does that money come from?
Sure.
You know, if you've got money in the bank, you might want to get it out before that becomes implemented, because you might not have money in the bank, because that money's got to come from somewhere.
Right.
And we think about these things, but looking at it from the spiritual side of things, think about it. What is she appealing to? Greed and laziness.
Yeah.
Greed and laziness. And, you know, they talk about the seven deadly sins, don't they? And one is sloth, and one is greed, isn't it?
Yeah.
If I remember correctly,
yeah,
how they define them.
Yeah.
But that's what their appeal seems to be, greed. Oh, and another one, also envy. And it seems to me there's a commandment. I heard something about 10 commandments one time, and I think one of them in there was not coveting.
Yeah,
envy.
Exactly.
And then, oh, here's another one that they advocate, taking from those that have, you know, and taking from those that struggled and worked to earn what they have, and giving it to people who don't want to do anything. You know, the last I heard, that's stealing.
Yeah.
It's stealing. It's one thing if you or I choose to reach into our pocket and take out some money and give it to somebody.
Right.
Help somebody out.
Right.
But when somebody comes and at the point of law threatens to take your home, threatens to take your bank account, threatens to even put you in jail, and forces you to give and to support these people who don't want to work, then, you know, that's stealing. That's government-sanctioned stealing.
Right.
And it seems to me there's also another commandment somewhere about that as well.
Okay. Well, in the book of Proverbs, it also talks about, it lists a whole thing. I call it the communist section or the socialist section, whatever you want to call it. But in Proverbs chapter 1, he starts out by saying in verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Then he goes down the list, and I believe some of that is talking about redistribution of wealth when it says, you know, "Let us swallow them up alive as the grave." Well, the grave takes everything, but they want them alive, so they take everything. It says, "We shall fill all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse." And
are you quoting from Hillary's speech there?
maybe in a roundabout way. But that is, I mean, there was certain, I was sitting there thinking, you know, here you go. And it's just, that's what we're seeing. And the Mrs. Stover brought this up in the first half hour. You know, people are getting numb. You know, they're just kind of watching and they're like, wow, these platitudes, they sound so good. And all these promises. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like they're beyond thinking for themselves. They're allowing others who claim to be more knowledgeable in the room because of, you know, their forcefulness or their longevity. Well, they must know what's right, so we're going to put our trust in them, because my heart feels like I don't want to tell somebody they're wrong with something. And that's exactly, like you mentioned, that's exactly what she's appealing to, is the human heart, which is so deceptive and so desperately wicked.
Right.
That
right.
it confuses truth, that we begin to believe things as truth when really they're lies.
Yeah, and I do want the listeners, of course, to understand that we should help the unfortunate and those who are unable to take care of themselves. And that's that we're obviously commanded to do that. But Paul gave us an admonition where he said that if one will not work, they should need. And he wasn't saying if they can't work. He was saying if they won't.
Yeah.
That's a big difference between somebody who, due to illness or disability or inability to find a job, because remember the parable of the guy that hired people to work in his vineyard?
Yeah.
He hired some at the beginning of the day, some in the middle of the day, some at the end of the day.
Right.
And even the people who only worked about the last hour or two of the day, he gave a full day's wages.
Yeah.
Because those people had a willingness to work. The fact that they could not get somebody to hire them early in the day was not their fault. They were there.
Yeah.
In fact, they even said they'd been there all day and nobody hired them.
Right.
And out of the goodness of his heart, the vineyard owner chose to help them and gave them a full day's wages so that they could take care of their families.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're talking about just fastening on the debt for the school debt for a minute, the college debt, $1.3 trillion. What is our country going to get from that? You know, how is that going to benefit our country and, when you reward people for not wanting to do anything? You know, if nothing else, maybe they could make some programs where, you know, they would provide something of commensurate value to our country in terms of civic service.
Right.
But they would never do that because that's asking somebody to work, and you can't do that.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a good point here as we're talking. You know, it really lies down to charity, and there's really one group, the Democrat side, who really believes it's the government's job to force the hand of people so they can be charitable to other people. And you have on the other side where you see more of this envelopment of, we want you to make the choice to be charitable. We want you to reach out to your neighbor. You know, during the convention, Rudy Giuliani spoke, and you may have heard this. I don't remember if or know if you heard this, but he said, he goes, I know Donald's going to get mad at me. He says, but I can't count the number of times through anonymity that Donald Trump called and said, I don't want you to tell him who I am, but I want you to take care of them. Whatever the tragedy was, whatever the circ, whether it was a policeman or fireman or 9/11 and, you know, taking a semi, a trailer full of water down when everybody else was shut out. Here this man is putting his own money. It reminds me at the end of the Declaration of Independence, we pledged to ourselves, you know, our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honor. He's putting his money where his mouth, where his money where his mouth is, I guess. I didn't say that right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also, it was either one of his sons, I think Eric, or one of his daughters on Wednesday night, made the statement, too, that he would hear things. He would see things in the paper or whatever about somebody who was suffering from something. And he would actually fly them to where he was.
Yeah.
And meet with them and meet their need, find out what their pressing need was, and meet that need and just encourage them that things could work out. And, you know, and he's doing this out of you know, the kindness of his heart.
Right.
But as Christians, we need to take that a step further because the word charity that we see in what is that? 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Love
chapter. And the modern versions put the word love there, which takes away from the meaning because when you see the word charity, I like to tell our people at church, charity is love that gives.
Yeah.
It's love which sees the need of somebody, and because you're moved with compassion, you give to meet that person's need. And a truly born-again Christian is going to do that. And so I pray for Donald Trump's salvation, because if he already is predisposed, you know, to give, think what somebody in his position can do.
Oh, my word.
As a born-again Christian with the Holy Spirit of God in them, moving them and motivating them. And that brings up something I want to touch on real quick, too. I know we're probably getting down toward the end of the program.
Yeah, we got about 2 minutes left.
Yeah, the idea that praying for people, and he has been receptive. I've heard more than one person say that they've talked to him and shared the gospel with him. He doesn't roll his eyes.
Yeah.
He doesn't say, here we go again. He doesn't scoff. He asks questions and seems to have a desire to know. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to pray. One of these two people is going to be elected in November,
Either
Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. And we know what Hillary Clinton is going to do. She's going to stack the court with people that will further abortion and the LGBTQ, ABCDFG alphabet soup issues.
Yeah.
And try to take away the First Amendment rights and things of that nature.
Sure.
Donald Trump has already indicated he's going to put out people on the court that'll respect human life at all stages, that'll defend our freedoms that we have in this country. And I think we should pray Mike Pence, the VP for the Republicans, is a born-again Christian.
Yeah.
He describes himself as a Christian first and a conservative second and a Republican third. And if God touches Donald Trump's heart and he trusts Christ as his Savior, wouldn't that be an amazing thing to see a president and a vice president
yeah.
in there. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
All right.
Have some righteous leaders for a change.
All right, brother. We got 2 seconds. Good talking to you. Be careful out there.
God bless you.
Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.